Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. Now, I'd like to begin with a scripture here in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now that is a plan of salvation condensed in one verse. How that God was manifest in the flesh, preached on here in the world, believed, and received up into glory. A wonderful plan of salvation there in just one short verse. And of course, the mystery of godliness is a great thing. It's a marvel how God could do all of this and bring this plan of salvation to pass as he did. But it is a great plan of salvation. No other plan of religion or whatever that I know of speaks of a risen Savior, one who is not in the tomb, but one who's risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. Where could you find such a report as this? And yet, that's what the Christian religion teaches and its subjects believe, that it's a risen Savior whom we serve. And I'm glad that this is the case. Now, this plan, being as great as it is, yet it includes everyone. Sometimes certain plans for welfare programs and for the benefit of the country include a certain group of people. But not so in this case. It includes everyone. Listen, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So God doesn't just pick out a few and say, well, you can come, you can, and the rest of you will be rejected. No, that's not the case. You can come, whoever you are, whatever may be your circumstance in life, there is a plan for you. Listen, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. So don't you see? It doesn't matter how far you've gone from God. The plan includes you. Listen, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. So, if you look to the Lord, you can be saved too. You're not excluded from this great plan of salvation. The Lord intended that you too should be a part of this plan. And you are if you'll just come. Now, someone might ask, well, how did he accomplish this plan? How did it come about? Just point out how it did. Well, this first verse I gave just included the whole thing there. Now, this plan is through Christ, the Son of God. We believe that these things came to pass just as the Scriptures say. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. So the plan was that God should be manifest in the flesh, that he should come down, take upon himself the form of a person. This way he would understand our needs, our problems, our desires, our weakness and failures. And we believe that was fulfilled in Matthew 1:21, according to the Scriptures. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name of Jesus, there's something about that name that is almighty, that is powerful, that's appealing, that's attractive, that's drawing. Now, it wasn't enough just to be made in the form of a man, but he must taste death for every man, because the atonement for sin had to be a blood sacrifice. So You may remember how that at the Passover, they killed a lamb and sprinkled the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels, and everyone within the walls of that house would be protected from the death angel that came through. Well, this was for foreshadowing the coming of Christ, foretelling how he was going to come, and that he would shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So, and it's more than a coincidence. You may have read the scripture or be familiar with the fact that Jesus was taken during the Passover season, just before the Passover. Don't you know how they were so careful that he wouldn't be taken right at the time that they'd be engaged in this thing and therefore be unlawful, but he was taken without the city and shed his blood. And it was right at this point, right near this Passover season, that this thing came to pass and that his blood was shed. Now, the prophets foresaw this way years ago. They saw the coming of the Savior many years before he came. And here in Revelation 13:8, it says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So these who are believers in him, their names are written in the book of life. And now that's of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Even as sin entered the world in the first place through disobedience. So provision was made through the prophecies and the plan of God that there should be a plan to redeem man back from their sins. You may remember that Jesus prayed when he was in the garden there, and he came right down to the cross and facing the cross there and the crucifixion. He prayed, Lord, if it be possible, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And of course, he went on to say, for this cause came I into the world. In other words, this is the plan and the purpose of God, that he should give his life for the sins of the world. Listen, the crucifixion thorn. I saw the crucifixion thorn and shuddered when I thought what agony my Savior bore when my poor soul he bought. It had a blossom red as blood that grew right on the tip. I visioned Calvary's cruel cross and saw his dear blood drip. I wondered how men could conceive such fiendish cruelty, and then remembered it was I that caused his misery. My sins had crushed him, pierced his heart, worse than the thorns his head. For me he tasted death and hell. Be merciful, I said. He looked at me with kindly eyes that pierced me through and through and asked, what will you do for me since I did this for you? I said, I will tell others of your love and how you bled and led them to the cross. And then he bowed his sacred head. Oh, friends, this great salvation doesn't come cheap. It was costly. It was the blood of the precious Son of God that was shed for you and me. Oh, we're glad for that blood and that it's able to wash away our sins and make us white, and that we can be overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. And as we think of the power of the resurrection and how Christ came forth from the tomb, the scriptures say he is alive forevermore. I'm looking forward to his coming again. I don't know when, but he said he would come again. And he told us to watch and be ready for that day. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So as Christ is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, do you know what he's doing? He's making intercession for you and for me. The scriptures say, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then again, in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so it was through his blood and is through his blood that we have victory through him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, aren't you familiar with that verse, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:14-17. I'm glad that God loved us enough to do that. And as we ask ourselves, what are we doing for him? Are we fulfilling the purpose for which he saved us? Again, we find in Romans 5, beginning with verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I like that, don't you? That the atonement is for all of us. Again, in Romans 6:23, there's quite a few scriptures here, but these are the things that make a foundation to build our faith in. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. And again in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May the Lord bless these scriptures to your heart. Surely this plan of salvation is a great one that tells a story of the coming of the Savior to the world. His life, the humble living, his humble birth, and how he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was crucified and raised again and is now ascended into heaven, making intercession for us. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener this day. Regardless how far they may be from you, we pray you to bring them to repentance, and thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we've been a blessing to you in some spiritual way, we'd be so happy to hear from you. And so, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.